Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, California. Joe Olson, Houston, Texas. Chris Weinert, Parts Unknown, Need to Know News. Wednesday, June 12, 2024. Let's take a look at those opening statements, and we will get for the topics and opening statements. The Great Awakening. There's no such thing as a Democrat or Republican. The only thing that does exist is a group of elite oligarchs that torture men, women, and children worldwide. That's a nice statement. We'll consider that context. Israel's war of aggression on Gaza within the U.S. rogue state empire and within a war of unreliable reporting slash propaganda. We got COVID crimes against humanity, and they're going to try another one. They're going to try the bird flu. They can't back up, and that'll be a different game. I'm looking forward to that one. U.S. naked evil emperor's new clothes moment, plus the whole world is watching, and that's we have zero demand for U.S. debt securities coming up, and there is going to be a breakthrough demand for physical silver, gold, and assets, and people are going to want that to be protected from the derivatives paper gambling. We have the Hunter Biden so-called gun case, and our opponents want that to be the official and final court case. Trump and Biden optics, Southern invasion replacement theory optics, and then finally, the official policy of ordering farmers they can't water their crops because of shortage, while the reservoirs, snowpack, and the rivers are full. And then we have a golden oldie with 9/11, with 24 New York fire department members all reporting on explosions and bombs on 9/11. Joe, opening statement, brother.
Oh, yeah, I've reported on the bombs at the World Trade Center buildings many times. Mark Felton, who's a historian in England, does really great work, and particularly about World War II. Most of his stuff is World War II. But he had something about Patton and how they had kept Patton sidelined during D-Day. And then they allowed him to go into France after D-Day. Well, what Felton didn't say is that he completely surrounded the German military and had 250,000 Germans, the entire army that was later used against us at the Battle of the Bulge, captured in Western France, and he had a 25-mile gap called the police gap that he needed to close. But the powers that be, Bradley, Montgomery, and Eisenhower, said, no, we want this war to keep going on for another year, so don't stop us now, you know? And so he knew about all the bullshit that had gone on all in every theater. He knew about the bullshit in Africa, Italy, all the stuff that was happening in France and Germany. He knew absolutely every bit of the bullshit. He could have taken Berlin before the Russians got there, but FDR had already given Berlin to Stalin, so he stopped them at the Rhine and said, you can't go any further west than that. Well, anyhow, Felton had previously done a thing about, was Patton assassinated? And I read a book by Robert C. Wilcox called Target Patton, which was emphatic about it. That there was an ox cart incident, that there he was flying in a two-seater Piper J-3 Cub when he was shot at multiple times by a U.S. P-51 fighter plane repeatedly that had Polish pilots in it because American pilots wouldn't shoot down our own commander. But clearly U.S.-marked planes shooting each other, trying to kill Patton. And then finally he was killed in a truck accident where it hit the front of his Cadillac and he had a bang on the back of his head. Well, the bang on the back of his head was reportedly from an air rifle and a guy that was involved in the OSS. And just to prove that, there's a Ghirardini, G-I-R-A-D-O-N-I, 46 caliber air rifle that was used by the Australian Army from the late 1790s through the 1920s, but then because it was air and it didn't require gunpowder, the gunpowder manufacturers made sure that it was not allowed to be manufactured anymore, and they took it off the market. But very interesting. And in relation to that, there's a book that I read about the Lewis and Clark expedition, and this was The Way to the Western Sea by David Lavender. Absolutely incredible book, incredible story, incredible history. Spain sold Louisiana to France in October of 1800 because the British were going worldwide stealing colonies from Spain, and they couldn't hang on to them any longer. And they thought, well, we want to hang on to Mexico, so we'll give Louisiana to France. And then that was the Treaty of San Ildefonso. And then Napoleon decided he wanted to go to war with Britain and Russia in 1803. And so he decided he couldn't maintain presence. And so he sold it to America in 1803. And that's when the Lewis and Clark adventure started. And it was a 2-year long, incredible. This was at the end of the Little Ice Age. The ice and temperature conditions that they endured were absolutely incredible. And they made this journey over a 2-year period of time. It's an absolutely fascinating story. And I'll put some information about the Ghirardoni rifle that they took. This thing had a bicycle pump, and you pumped up the air charge cylinder on it, and you could shoot 20 rounds in 1 minute. It had a lead ball loading magazine, and you just push the chamber back and forth to load a new shell, and it was almost completely silent and no smoke. And that's the only thing that kept the Indian tribes from killing them, because the British had entered the Oregon coast and started trading with the Indians from that side. And the French had come in from the Missouri River on the east side, and they'd split up all the tribes and made them compete against each other to trade furs for guns. And so bottom line is there was a lot of alliances to the French and the British, but there was no alliances to the Americans. And the Americans are like coming through their territory, and the Indians would have gone, ah, let's just whack these guys. They had an Indian guide who just, they made a dollar coin over Sacagawea, which is a pretty interesting story. So I'll put some notes in the comment section about that, but it's just another piece of American history that when you start explaining to people, they go, oh yeah, I heard of Lewis and Clark. And that's about all you've heard, just the two words. And you have no idea what that actual journey was like. It's absolutely incredible piece of American history. And I've sent it over to my good buddy at Forgotten History. And so I'm hoping he'll go ahead and do an episode on it, because it's really history that you need to know in order to really appreciate America.
Thank you, Joe. Chris, opening statement. Chris, you're Crisco. Muted. Did we lose Chris already before we even began?
I know. I bored him to tears and he hung up.
Yesterday's show was so nice, too. We had good connectivity. All right. Well, we'll
move forward. Hey,
there you go.
Back on. Don't skip me.
Go ahead.
Sorry, brother, we can't hear anything that you're saying. All right, we're gonna go do the first section and then see if we can
place signal. We got one bar.
Yeah. You can't hear anything. All right, so we'll get back to you, brother. Scramble for signal. All right, I wanted to do this first, the Great Awakening.
Lewis and Clark.
Chris, can't hear anything. Can't hear anything.
I heard you say Lewis and Clark, which I'm really interested what additional comments you have to say about that.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. We're going to do the first section.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Try it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, try.
Jesus fucking Christ. This is awesome. I swear to God, they call people from the fucking moon in 1970 something, right? And they can't get a goddamn signal with them fucking got 5G towers every 10 feet. Unbelievable. Anyways, Lewis and Clark, you can read into something by Ralph Epperson talking about Jesse James when he was supposedly killed and assuming the identity of a Senator Clark, who was a proxy for Daley and Rockefeller for the Anaconda mining interest, and basically doing what Joe's talking about, taking all the mining minerals from the Indians out there after they did split them up. This is in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And he is supposedly a relative of Clark. The Clark family's still around and still in the mining world, but I think it's a Masonic thing. And I think that, you know, Jesse James becoming Senator Clark, if you look at the pictures that he didn't talk about, you know, on his deathbed, indicated that this is probably what was going on. So, yeah, this is another case of Duper's Delight. And Lewis and Clark is just riddled in Masonic lore and mineral rights and things of the sort. So, yeah, good stuff, Joe. And I know I'm short on internet in connection, so I'm trying to keep it brief, and hopefully you hear me.
Yep, we got all that. That was good. Thank you, brother. All right, the Great Awakening. 8 billion people are being controlled by 100 families. And I'm going to just play this statement and let him speak for himself. 54 seconds.
Billion people
are being controlled by 100 families.
Who are these families?
These are the elite oligarchs that control the planet. They literally run us. They tell us what to do, hear, see, smell, taste, touch, feel, where we can go, where we can't go. They're running us. Governments are put in place to work for the people, but they got it flipped and they got us working for them.
Right.
And telling us what they're going to do to us if we don't listen to them. That's the opposite of what it's supposed to be. The reason why the world it is today, why we have this boot on our neck, is because of us. We're the problem. They're sharks. A shark smells blood, a shark attacks.
Right.
A shark is going to be a shark. How come we as 8 billion people haven't stopped falling for these divide and conquer tactics and stopped fighting each other over the scraps and realize who the real enemy is? While we're fighting each other, they're just cutting up the pie and laughing at us. Left wing, right wing, all the same bird. There's no such thing as a Democrat or Republican. The only thing that does exist, like I say, is a group of elite oligarchs that torture men, women, and children worldwide. That exists. Democrat and Republican doesn't exist.
That's sharp. And associated with that, with the mood and the feeling, and that's what I'm seeing with the Great Awakening. And I just want to play a moment of this. We did cover this song, Rich Men North of Richmond, when it came out. And here on the YouTube, we're told it has 144 million views. I'm just going to play about a minute of this so that you can feel the soulness of this.
Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day. Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day. Overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me. People like you wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is living in the new world. With an old soul, these rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, 'cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end.
Yeah, and we have the facts to go ahead and back that up, that he is talking about the truth. He's singing the right tune for people to feel. And that gentleman's statement, I forget his name. He also does ET research, but it's that forbidden knowledge that was printed on the video for him. He's done a lot of research into the history. And I agree is that we're dealing with a predator. And I don't blame a predator for being a predator. But if you don't know, it's a predator that is being masked behind a human face, then you're going to get eaten. And we have been eaten. Joe, your thoughts.
Duppy Conqueror. That's Oliver is his name, right?
Yeah. Joe, your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, well, the head of the snake is City of London, absolutely 100%. And by 1900, they had conquered more than 25% of the world's land surface and had control of almost half of the world's population. And they were well on their way to do that earlier than that, which is why Russia sold Alaska to America in 1867, March 30th, 1867, for $7.2 million. And I don't think I mentioned the price on that, but let's see if I've got this stuff on transfer. I have it written down here somewhere. Okay, it's just not where I can find it. Oh, yeah, here it is. Napoleon sold the Louisiana Purchase to us for $15 million. So for $22 million, we got all of the Louisiana all the way up to Idaho, and we got all of Alaska. But, and they did that to keep the British from being able to take over, and that's exactly what it was. So it's hegemony using America as a hedge against British worldwide monopoly. But we ended up being partners with the British, and now we're actually the mercenary, the free mercenary forces for the Israeli lobby that runs England and the Israeli lobby that's trying to occupy the Middle East. So that's where those particular problems stem from.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
Yes, no doubt. Perfidious Albion. You know, something you can think about is the London Theater Company kind of transitioned into Hollywood with the New Deal and the Federal Reserve. Think about them dissociating from the gold standard, all these European countries that were tied through the Austrian Habsburg empires, even to the gold standard for hundreds of years. And, you know, if you think of the counterfeiting operations that took place by the Allies, trying to counterfeit the Thaler and a couple other things to try to destabilize the silver and gold standard. You can really see the efforts that they put forth. And as I mentioned in many other videos, the beginning of World War II is certainly not what history books indicate. At the beginning of this war, there was 8 countries aligned with national armies, and they were going around basically dissociating Southeast Asia, India, China from the gold standard in the early 1900s into the 1930s. And in 33, they sent this expedition out. And in 37, the Japanese refused to surrender what they had confiscated from China. And that was really the casus belli for, you know, Japan and then Germany to become the Axis powers or whatever they call them. So, yeah, think of Rothschild running the show, running the banks. Think of the World Bank, IMF, and Bank of International Settlements running and funding both sides of the war and then putting in the credit system so that Rothschild can buy the world in all the resources and human labor on margin with Rothschild company script. And they're trying to do it now with crypto next. So CBDC crypto is the same deal. It's really just a war against fair value. And these are the guys that create slave wages and the misery index and inflation and taxation and all these things. So, yeah, look at the cui bono and look at what they use this money for. I mean, it's absolute atrocities and absurdities. The political dialogue is controlled opposition, obviously. But, you know, the things that they put on the table and what they both sides seem to work for is absolutely absurd. Nothing that we want, nothing that we need. And it's something that just puts us on the hook for, you know, debt and political capital.
Well said, brother. Yeah, it's an animal farm. We're debt slaves. We're goy. We're sheeple to them. And until we recognize that and have a response and or have friends in high places, it's just another day in the empire where the 0.1% own 90% of the assets.
Yeah, and amazingly enough, Lindsey Graham in an interview yesterday said that the reason we need to take over the Ukraine is because they've got $10 trillion worth of mineral resources that we need to keep from Russia. So it's like, yeah, this is the same little game that these son of a bitches have been playing forever. Russia has 11% of the world's surface area. They don't need more surface area, but what they also don't need is to have an aggravating, warmongering tribe next door to them that can strike their capital within 15, 20 minutes and them not be able to respond back because we're sitting safely on the other side of the world. But that was far safer before the hypersonic missiles. And so now we are all targets and we've got these same assholes running the planet that have been doing this stupid great game that they've been playing on the world for the last 500 years, and we're sick to death of it, which the elections in Europe yesterday showed.
Yes, they did.
No doubt. Man. No doubt. There's got to be some sort of resistance across the world against this. I'd also like to add as a note, look how many times the British pound or the pound sterling had defaulted, or how many times Britain had defaulted and owed much gold and silver to India and China pre and post World War I and World War II. And another thing you never hear about is how many people they starved to feed the Pacific theater in Southeast Asia. Easily 10 million, but you never hear about that either. So just a couple notes I wanted to add to you, to some great comments there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. It is an empire. Vicious, ruthless, rapacious. All right, let's go to this rapacious war. U.S. drone flights over Gaza supported Israeli operation that killed over 200 Palestinians in Nusrat. Yeah, so the U.S. typically does supply a lot of the weapons and a lot of the intelligence and a lot of the technology in order to operate the muscle of the empire. UN's World Food Program pauses aid deliveries in Gaza through the U.S.-built pier. Now, remember, this was the U.S. said, oh, yeah, yeah, so these people, the Palestinians, are starving. We'll build them a pier, and when the weather is okay, and it'll be a couple of months, I know you're starving, but, well, that's what. Okay, now that, so they've stopped it because they use the pier for the delivery of soldiers and weapons and death. Destruction indescribable. Majority of buildings in Gaza destroyed by Israel. And this is what we've been shown. And they did a estimation of how long it would clear the rubble. And it's like 750,000 man hours. Here we go. Work days. All right. Let's see. 100 trucks. We're talking about 14 years of work with 100 trucks. That's 14 years to remove about with about 750,000 workdays, person workdays, to remove the debris. And that's what we're looking at. And the death toll, of course, in any war, we're going to get propaganda. You can't believe anything. And I know that's hard to believe, but you can't believe anything in a war. And we are in a war. And the masters, you can't trust anything that they tell us. Ignoring daily massacres in Gaza while still babbling about October 7th, Caitlin Johnstone. Yeah, that's all that they're going to have is the paper-thin propaganda. And if you want some talking points, there are a lot of good ones here. And I like this one. Ever since the Gaza onslaught began, we've been seeing U.S. officials play dumb about all the massacres and atrocities Israel has been committing, constantly telling the press, yeah, yeah, sorry, we're talking to Israel. And you should talk to Israel because they're reliable to investigate themselves. Yeah. Joe, your thoughts. Oh, we lost Chris.
Again? Chris, go. Park under a cell tower. Get in touch with us. Yeah, there was a great interview at D-I-E, Weltwoke, which I think means world woke in German, but it's Weltwoche. I'll put a link to that, but it was an interview with Alexander Vivek, Bucic, who's the president of Serbia, and very thoughtful, very statesmanlike. He said that Serbia was sucked into a war in 1900, another one in 1905. They were the ones that supposedly started the World War One with the assassination of Ferdinand inside Serbia. And then they were subject to the Nazi takeover in World War Two. And then they were part of Yugoslavia, where they were abused by the Yugoslavs during the occupation of the Iron Curtain. And then NATO decided that they wanted to take 16% of Serbia's land and give it to some Muslims that were invading and taking over. And so, you know, so they've been subject to enormous amounts of pressure, and they kind of don't want to be involved in any more wars, but they also don't want to be carrying a 100-year-old grudge against every one of their neighbors, which they rightfully should be able to do. And anyhow, it's a great interview. It's about 45 minutes to maybe an hour long. Great interview. If I can find a good link to it, I will put that link up so that people can listen to it in the comment section. But it's really nice that there's thoughtful leaders. But he says that all indications are that we're going to have a major war within the next 3 months, and that it's unavoidable unless there's a major change in the attitude of the leadership and the news media in the West, because they're propagandizing us into it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's pretty straight. But these guys, if they become absolutely honest like us, then they're going to end up being assassinated, or those type of people. He's pulling his punches is what I'm saying. And I don't know to what extent you would be able to tell the truth and still be alive. Chris, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. What did I miss? I kind of dropped out there. Selective internet service.
You did. You did. We were talking about the war on Gaza by Israel. We were talking about that. It was the U.S. drone flights that supported the Nusrat massacre. We have the UN World Food Program pauses aid deliveries in Gaza, and the majority of the buildings in Gaza have been destroyed by Israel. And then Caitlin Johnstone saying that they're still talking about babbling about October 7th, that inside job, rather than the daily massacres on Palestinians.
Yeah, you know, the thing that maybe will help people understand more what's going on, because it is a trinity of obfuscation. We talk about perfidious London and or Albion, and I'll say that you got to look into most of the Anglican Church and most of these offshoots from the Presbyterianism, all these things. I'm not saying that everyone that adheres to this is following this, but at the highest levels, it is inextricably tied to Zionism. And it creates Israel as a progenitor, as a God's chosen people. And, you know, many of the things that you read about since James the First and on, every decade or two, they have a new religion that's based, you know, it's put out by these guys, whether it's the Mormons or Scientology or any of this other bullshit. And in reality, these are used as cover fire to draw in unwitting dupes who are really motivated by inversions and inversions of rhetoric. A big part of this duplicity is, this confusion, you know, so people think that they are doing good things. They're thinking they're doing the honorable thing. You remember when we started with the Zionist Crusades after 9/11 and people were proud to be an American and blowing up the ragheads and all these things they're saying? And, you know, I mean, this is the dissociative psychopathic behavior that they try to ingrain to us. And, you know, they understand that, you know, 50% of the population is just a brainless collaborator or more. I'm probably being an easy grader here. But, you know, they understand these notions. They've had control over humanity through religion and government and many other of their Gollum enterprises. So they understand the full scope of this. And by really ascribing some sort of delayed gratification, spirituality, you know, in the afterworld, and creating the hardship, suffering, pay now in this mortal world. They've harnessed the human spirit in this way and doomed the human soul in this way. This is how they build empires. This is the whole thing is propaganda, controlling the arts, the schools, the kids, the money, the military. And, you know, by these things, controlling the price of goods or the cost of goods, the production or merchant port cities, you know, in the old days, this is what these guys have done. And most importantly, they have controlled the law to protect themselves from any sort of restitution or justice or any sort of recourse for the common man. And that's really what 9/11 was all about, was putting in the surveillance state, the surveillance capital, to acclimate us to becoming these debt slaves that we currently are and that they're trying to make us into. Look at how much they're borrowing in our name, for example, and look what they're doing with that money. It's absurd.
It is. And this practiced empire through however many resets they've had in history, and the control over humanity is what informs my working conclusion, is that personally, I don't see any openings for me to take any broad actions until we have a breakthrough. What informs my working conclusion is the positions of all, each and every one of my normie family members. And then for all of the teachers and administrators of my school district, when I was simply pointing to the law as an expert witness, the AP U.S. government teacher points to the law, and nobody will take a look. Nobody will engage. As a matter of fact, a social studies teacher, a U.S. history teacher, responded to one of my communications with instructions for the entire faculty of, if they wanted to block emails from just me, how they could do that. So to cut me off from any communication, a U.S. history teacher. So personally, until we get a breakthrough, I'm on Chris's side with that. We need help from friends in high places. We need some sort of a break before any effective action is going to be effective. That's just my personal conclusion. If other people see things that they can engage in, you know, by all means, go ahead and go for it. All right. Anything else, guys, or move on?
Just one other more thing. The Germans managed to get U.S. capital during the Depression. The U.S. ambassador, William Dodd from University of Virginia, was a German language professor. And he was appointed by FDR, and he was served over there from 1933 until 1937. In September, he sent a resignation letter to FDR, and he says, U.S. corporations have invested over $100 million of Depression-era capital in Germany, and Germany has not paid a dime in principal or interest, and I see no way of solving this short of a war, and I'm not going to be ambassador for a war, so I'm resigning. In addition, we also have the information I presented in previous chapters about Reinhard Goering, who was the German who was in charge of securing $250 million in gold placed in Switzerland so that the Germans would be able to finance their Hitler miracle, because they were absolutely 100% bankrupt. But then I came across another documentary that talked about the German MEFO war bonds, which were issued from the German government to the German industrialists, who still had a lot of money because their money wasn't confiscated after World War One, and so they were able to completely build a structure, but it was all focused on nothing but war building. So basically, this tells you how they use debt to finance war industries in order to create more debt and create. It's absolutely astounding when you see this 45-minute long documentary, and I'll put a link to it on the German MEFO war bonds.
And the cooperation.
The Germans actually were paying. But sorry.
Go ahead.
I'll go first.
I was going to say this. Okay.
So Prescott Bush, he, the grandfather of W, father of George Herbert Walker Bush, vice president of the New York bank that was laundering the money for the Nazis. Now, and that after the passage of the Trading with the Enemies Act in early 1942, after the December 1941 Pearl Harbor Act, is that Prescott wasn't supposed to be doing business with the Nazis. And the Nazis declared war on the U.S. And Prescott continued through 1942 to assist the Nazis, and eventually the feds came in and they froze the actions of the bank. But after the war, they didn't prosecute Prescott for treason. All they did was stop the financial transactions. And at the end of the war, they gave him the money back. And that's the money that the Bush family used in order to get into politics. Chris.
Yeah, I would also say that the German government repaid all their debts up until the very end of the war, and honored all their obligations as far as debts were concerned, as far as I had known. You know, another thing I want to say is that most of this, in my opinion, is a Freemasonic thing, like I always say, where, you know, each side of this is controlled. Look into Paperclip or Unit 731 and look into many of the programs that come out of the intelligence agencies. Look into the intelligence, remember the National Security Act of 47, when they make the CIA, basically. These charters are pretty much Rothschild intelligence networks that are put in every nation, and every UN nation, might I add, is working with each other in many of these things. The Cold War, of course, was the quote-unquote exception. And I think by the Cold War, it really created this strategy of tension. It had both sides racing to a prize, and it really lowered the status quo and expectations from government with tax dollars and public service. These notions are very much to diminish the expectation of the taxpayers and the debt slaves, more importantly. This fractional reserve banking system and the insider lending and the control of interest rates is akin to slavery, and I don't see how that it's seen in any other way. There is no basis in reality or fair market value. It is absolute corrupt and manipulated. And I'm starting to think it's been this way for a longer time than we might understand or have been taught in our history books. And when you dig into this, you'll find out it's probably the case. Most of these wars are banker wars, and there is some sort of economic undertone to many of these things that is not told in the history books. So I implore people to really start looking into these things. Look into the false flags that begin these wars, too. Every one of these wars is started with some, you know, false flag or an assassination or both.
Yeah, and the idea that you can't recognize how people don't see the debt slavery. Yeah, well, since 2009, working with 2000 advanced placement macroeconomics teacher on our discussion board, currently I have no allies. And as I've said from time to time, the moderator will permanently remove me from that discussion board if I share anything to that point or any current event. All I can do is counterpunch when somebody slips up and shares a current event, like the moderator.
All right.
And Prescott Bush went on to become senator from Connecticut, and his son, Beatty Bush, or end up being Big Bush, was a Navy fighter pilot and had like 300 hours total flight time on his very first mission at Chichijima. He supposedly got shot down and lost the two crewmen that were with him. But the plane that he was flying, you had to bank the plane one direction for the radio operator and the rear gunner to be able to bail out. And then you had to be able to bank the plane in the opposite direction for the pilot to bail out. He did not allow the two guys to bail out of his plane. He claimed that he was hit by anti-aircraft fire when he was outside the range of the Japanese anti-aircraft fire. And there just happened to be a U.S. submarine on the surface waiting for him to bail out with a life raft so that they could catch him as soon as he hit the water. Absolutely curious. That's according to Flyboys by James Brady. But although he doesn't connect all the dots, he puts all the dots there. So I connected them for you because I think that this is a family of traitors that goes back multiple generations.
Huh. Think of Bay of Pigs too. He gave the ships for that, the invasion of the Bay of Pigs. And also 9/11, you know, think about Jerome Powell.
Oh, yeah.
The guy in charge of the Fed, right? Think about Jerome Powell in charge of the Fed now. He was in charge of Carlyle. He was on the board of directors of Carlyle Group during 9/11. Now he's doing the controlled demolition of the U.S. petrodollar. So, yeah, you're seeing, you know, this group, it's Jews, it's Zionists, Jesuits. They're all working towards the same thing. And by this trinity of obfuscation, they just play the guessing game between the usual suspects. And we never really get to hone in on the proper nouns and the proper crimes. And somehow or another, law enforcement has no interest in looking into this either for some reason.
Merriman Garlick, who's our new AG, was the one that was in charge of the Oklahoma City bombing, where they destroyed all of the records from Whitewater, saving Hillary Clinton's lunch. Yeah, it's the same cabal, and sure, they've got complete control over us. It's absolutely absurd.
And like they just cycle them through the loop every 10 years. You know, they put them on a shelf for 10 years, like Mike Rogers or any of these fucks, you know, and then they just bring them back out. You know, it's unreal.
Now, they're talking about putting Hillary on the ticket to replace Poopy Pants Biden.
Wow.
Yeah.
For George Herbert Walker Bush, maybe that was an initiation for him. Maybe that was for him to get his hands blood red and join the group through that. I don't know.
The Skull and Bones. Yeah, the Skull and Bones kids. Yeah, his daddy, him, and his son. Yeah. Yeah, right. Nice club.
Geronimo,
no kidding.
Let's go ahead and take a look at COVID. We got four of those stories. Moderna's phase 3 study design for mRNA for their next generation COVID-19 vaccine was deeply flawed. Let us count the ways. Now, this is a formal critique, and it goes through the clinical trial from an informed voice. And all that I really understood in terms of previously was that they didn't have a placebo group. And if you don't have that, then your study is fatally flawed. But that isn't the only let us count the ways. It just goes on and on and on. And we've covered this, but the COVID mRNA nanoparticle injections are bioweapons for mass destruction. Quote, that's the affidavit by Francis Boyle in the Florida lawsuit to stop the vaccine. And this is from Veterans Today, and I do recommend their take on issues. So it's the same story that we covered, but in a different context, that the global political scene it's more aligned with the monsters that we're talking about. FDA executive officer exposes close ties between the agency and pharmaceutical companies, almost $1 billion a year going into the FDA's budget from the people we regulate. Now, this was 2 years ago, and we did cover it 2 years ago, but I want to bring it up. Because I'll let this guy speak for himself. I don't let we know if we let him do that.
As many people as
hey, Carl,
possible.
Before you start, can I just point out the DARPA shot. Tech connection?
Yeah, go
World
ahead.
War II.
Yep.
Yeah. Just think of all the DARPA tech connections to World War II and Paperclip. They are one and the same. The Phoenix Project, MK Ultra, Mockingbird, the control of the media and this blitz of propaganda, the vote rigging, the whole thing is just to instigate this type of political and social tension. And look at the way it's been so successful in terms of controlling social media and pinpointing people with, you know, very precise propaganda and only one side of a very bipolar truth, we'll say. So I don't think it's an accident that all these meetings in the aisles are taking place. I think that these people are trying to start a fucking civil war and trying to get us to kill each other. And they're using this dragnet surveillance to basically get the analytics to say anything they want, to either put it one way or the other and just, you know, run us down the cul-de-sac in terms of political dialogue, right?
They want us dead. That would seem to be the conclusion that one should draw.
Yeah, while they're fucking killing us. Exactly, Carl. Soft kill, hard kill, you got it. No doubt.
And Miriam Hanin just sent out an article this morning about the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, which I'd never heard of before, but they just bought 4.8 million doses of avian flu vaccine because it's killed one human being and made seven people sick worldwide. But for that, we got to kill all the cows and all the chickens and all the, you know, who knows what else they're going to lump into the list of things that need to be killed in order to protect us from this next imaginary disease. It's absolutely disgusting.
This is the British doing the Irish potato famine of 1848 on us right now, just destroying the food supply intentionally and shipping it out, exporting it.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, the potato famine had nothing to do with the potato rot that they had. It had to do with the British government going in and landing 100,000 troops in the southern part of Ireland and marching all the way up to Dublin and confiscating every cow, every chicken, every sheep. And then they stole all of the grain that had been harvested. So the only thing they had left was the potatoes, and the potatoes were already in the ground, so it was a little hard to stop them from using those. But then they ended up having a fungus that killed the potato crop. So, the million that they didn't kill in Ireland, they sent another million of them as slaves around the world, the Australia and America and South America and the Caribbean. Yeah, yeah, that, wonderful folks. And they sat there in England saying, you know, the bad thing about starving the Irish to death, it takes months for them to starve to death. You know, if we just had some more humane way of doing this, that's almost exactly like what they're doing to the Palestinians.
They're doing it to us too, Joe. Look at the people they're basically throwing in prisons in the third world. And these prisoners, they're letting loose and sending them to our fucking country. They're military and prisoners, man. This is the modern day Australia. And they're coming to destroy the native indigenous folk, let's just say, which is us now. Who they used us to destroy the original meeting.
Aren't we tired of this game yet?
Yeah, I can't wait to be their proxy. You know, I mean, if I were China, I'd be killing people to get there for this, right? Or Russia or U.S. or whoever. This is all fucking games, man. These guys are fucking playing games with the obtuse. And it's up to us that know better to tell people so that some people can finally wake up, see this, and snap the fuck out. Because this is unreal. It's gone on too long.
Well, every epiphany is permanent. So if you're short one epiphany, just keep listening to us. Do a little bit of your own research and realize that we are not telling you lies and that we don't have any separate agenda other than peace and freedom for the people of this planet and based on truth. And we try to reference everything to empirical truth as far as science and overwhelming evidence as far as history. And so that's all we can do is provide you with an alternative viewpoint that we know makes sense and hope that you can incorporate some of that into your thinking and that you can help get yourself out of the cage that they put you in that you might not even know you're in. Just like that saying, we don't know who discovered water, but we're pretty sure it wasn't the fish. We're trying to help you get out of the fishbowl.
We're all free and independent debt slaves, you know, all 8 billion of us. And,
you know, yeah, sadly. Yeah.
All right, let's listen to this guy. And this was from 2 years ago. This is the FDA Executive Officer of Countermeasure Initiative. And I want to give him a couple of minutes to expose his testimony.
I mean, it hasn't been formally announced yet. They don't want to, like, rile everyone up.
The drug companies, the food companies, the vaccine.
Oh, we missed that first part. He said that Biden wants everybody injected.
Companies, so they pay us hundreds of millions of dollars a year to hire and keep the reviewers to approve their products. If they can get every person required an annual vaccine, that is a recurring return of money going into their company.
So how do you know it's already getting approved?
Well, they're not going to, I mean, just from everything I've heard, they're not going to not approve this.
Meet Christopher Cole, an executive officer at the FDA with over 20 years experience who claims to be directly involved in the approval process of the various COVID vaccines.
I think what's going to happen is it's going to be a gradual thing. Schools are going to mandate it.
Why do they need the third one?
Well, the same reason that you or I would need the third one. So the three will bolster your system. And then there will be an annual, eventually an annual, just like the flu shot.
For the toddlers?
Well, for everyone.
Okay, so the toddlers too, then. We'll have to get it
probably.
Okay.
I don't completely agree with the process.
What do you mean you don't agree with the process?
Well, I mean, they don't have all the tests aren't there. So I agree with the thing that it is important to inoculate them. But you can't provide the parent as much assurity as you normally want to. It's an EUA for all age groups, all designations, and then you have to get approved by specific age groups based on the study.
Do you think it's really an emergency for the toddlers?
Well, they're all approved under an emergency. The efficacy data doesn't have to be as high. The standard is on emergency use authorizations is that it does more benefit than harm.
I thought their cases weren't that high for 6 months to 4 year-olds.
They're not, but it, because it's related to COVID, it's under that approval process.
Slimy. And again, part of the documentation that I shared is that this was John Hopkins, 48,000 school-age children, zero deaths. All right, that's it for COVID. That next story is with Following the Money. Joe, your thoughts, brother.
Oh, yeah, on the COVID thing, I highly recommend Principia Scientific. They've got a half dozen articles up, and I thought that's where I was going to find the one from Michael Yeardon, who was former vice P at Pfizer. But he's come out with some really good information about how screwed up these things are. So, and Sasha Yamapoma, what's her last name?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember how to pronounce it without reading it.
Yeah, me neither. I'll put a link to her latest because she did another great interview, and I'll put a link to that because there again, if you can't see the whole big picture, at least see part of the picture. Look at what happened. They stated that during the pandemic, people were skipping their wellness visits for their children. And so the children were not getting their normal vaccine protocols. And that there was absolutely zero cases of SIDS when the kids weren't being injected with toxins on a regular basis by the pediatricians. So bottom line is, you know, if you can't latch on to, quote, every conspiracy theory, which so far almost every one of them has been proven to be correct. But if you can't latch on to that, at least latch on to the ones that are most important to you and your family. And that would be this medical stuff and the food crap that they're feeding us and the 5G. And, you know, there's things that impact you on a daily basis that you have control over, that you need to say, I'm not going to participate in this. This is where you need to disobey. Do not conform to their vaccine schedule for your children. That's the first basic step you should take.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
I think this is why they're also tainting the food supply, destroying much of the independent food producers in the United States and trying to take them over with corporate Goliaths as well, whether they're domestic or foreign companies, one and the same. Run by the same group. So, I think they're definitely trying to take over the food supply and taint it with this whatever technology, DARPA tech, mRNA, nano bullshit. It's basically they're not going to dupe us into getting the vax ourselves, so they can probably infect us as primary and secondary consumers of vaccinated products. So, I think this is what they're really trying to do here. And I hate to sound, like I'm forming conspiracy theories. I think you can look into all the facts and evidence that support this theory and probably be more accurate to call it a fact. So, that being said, what are we doing next? You know, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here?
And one of the articles that's at Principia Scientific is a post from Gateway Pundit, written by Jim Huff, but it says Francis Boyle claims that COVID vaccines are weapons of mass destruction in a new affidavit. I read that article when it came out in Gateway Pundit, but bottom line is this is the guy that wrote the biological weapons treaties, and he's a law professor. In addition to being very knowledgeable, probably one of the more knowledgeable people on the whole planet about bioweapons. So definitely an expert that you can rely on for good information about how rotten this system is.
Very good. Next, we are going to take a look at the money. And we got three of these stories. So the end of the petrodollar, we have taken a look at that in the Saudis' new chapter in energy economics. So the idea that the Saudis had agreed to sell their oil exclusively for dollars in exchange for military protection and in exchange with that as well as selling the oil for only U.S. dollars is that they would invest part of their profits to buy debt securities. That was the deal. Now, if they no longer participate in that, it's going to be a big deal, and that's going to put pressure on what we're seeing. The Shanghai Futures Exchange sees continued pressure on silver vault holdings, and it lost another 3% just yesterday, I believe. So they are down, I believe, 75% of their top holdings here, and that trend continues. And the price of silver hasn't blown up relative to how it will because the derivatives market and the gambling that goes on where the manipulators, the liars, the traders and with a T and then traders with a D is that they're trying to keep the demand for the U.S. dollar high. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. People are buying hard assets anyway because there are a couple of factors. One, they don't want to fund the U.S. empire and the genocides, and they don't want to fund World War III by purchasing U.S. debt securities because that's how the U.S. government operates is from people's contributions and only paying off the interest while the principal of the debt goes untouched. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's ridiculously tragic comic as we've been talking about it. But if people refuse to play the game anymore and instead they want and they don't want the rigged casino stock markets, they want physical assets. It looks like that this is going to be a breaking point, but we shall see. It hasn't happened yet. We lost Chris again. Joe.
Yeah, it is 100% rigged. And the thing is, there probably was a value for the stock market when it first started out, and you actually bought shares in a company that was actually going to go out and invest in equipment and buildings and training labor forces and then getting raw materials and then producing a product and then selling the product. But the delay on that was like really incredible. And so they're sitting around waiting to get a return on their, quote, investment. And they said, man, we've got to do something with this market. So what else can we do? Oh, let's start a commodities market. We'll monetize commodities because farmers usually have to plant at least once, maybe twice, three times per year, and they need money for seeds and equipment. And so we'll start a commodities market, and that way we'll mercantile the food market out from control of the farmers. And then they said, well, you know, this is a nice little casino window, but this still is only giving us a return a couple of times a year. What if we started allowing future trades? So we'll gamble on what the commodities market and the stock market is going to be doing in the future. And that way we can be gambling every day, whether it's going to go up or down, and you can bet, place your bets on both sides. And so the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculously one Ponzi scheme piled on top of another. If you want a great read about what happened during the 2008 housing bubble, read The Great American Bubble Machine, written by Matt Tabahi, and he was at the Rolling Stone at that particular time, but it doesn't matter. The quality of his research is wonderful. He also did another one in 2012 called The real story of Mitt Romney and Bain Capital. And man, the Willard the Bain Bandit is absolutely 100% vulture capitalist. If you read those two articles, and I'll put the titles down in the comments section so they're easy for people to find and access. But if you read those two articles, you get a real good education on how rotten the whole entire financial system is that we are currently dealing with.
Yep. Rigged to the core. All right, let's take a look at the Hunter Biden gun case. So the jurors reached the verdict and guilty of all three felonies, faces up to 25 years in prison. Okay. All right. But that ignores the crimes against children. And here's some documentation. And I like this take here. The Hunter Biden laptop data contains evidence of the worst kind of child abuse. There is photographic and film evidence of children with a naked Hunter. Did the spies and media that called this Russian disinformation assist a pedophile? I think so. And I think that they're going to be criminally liable for that if we get this breakthrough. And more, the shadow of Ezra, child abuse text messages found on Hunter Biden's laptop from hell. There's documentation of that. And here we have, I'll let Candace Owens speak here for herself. And what she, I'll just let her say it. Speed this up just a little bit. Go ahead.
The Mossad were going to attempt to frame me and then torture me to death. And then 4 hours after that tweet, I was found dead in an ocean. You think that it was just an accident, that the timing of my tweet was suspicious and then I naturally drowned? I'm asking you that question for a reason. I'm asking you because it's actually happened to somebody. And this story that I read completely sent a shiver up my spine. I think that it will send one up yours as well. A lot of people were sending me information claiming, this sounded to me like a conspiracy theory, that Jeffrey Epstein was a part of our intelligence agencies, that he was actually operating a black mail ring. And this is the reason why nobody would prosecute him, because he was a protected CIA asset. Jeffrey Epstein would get very powerful people to attend his parties, would bring them out on the Lolita Express to his island in the Caribbean. He would get them to sleep with women, maybe unbeknownst to them that these women were very young. And then he'd have blackmail. He'd record the acts, and then suddenly he had control over people all around the world. A lot of people in the press were saying, this guy, Alexander Acosta, allowed Jeffrey Epstein to get off scot-free. He was asked with the Trump administration, is the Epstein case going to cause a problem? He explained breezily he had had just one meeting on the Epstein case. He'd cut the non-prosecution deal with one of Epstein's attorneys because he had been told to back off, that Epstein was above his pay grade. He said, quote, I was told Epstein belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. What if I...
Yeah, and I think that's what we're dealing with. And clandestine, therefore, concludes Hunter's gun charges mean nothing. That's right. You know, they could get an actor, they could convict him, they could put him into prison for 25 years, but it wouldn't be Hunter who was going into prison. And, shoot, we're still doing this. You knew that is with the Trump and the Biden optics. Joe, your thoughts, brother.
Oh, yeah, it was Merriman Garlic is the one that managed to come up with the idea and collect the 51 secret spies that said that Hunter's laptop has all the hallmarks of being Russian disinformation. So naturally, he gets rewarded by the FJB team for being a good team player. But also, you mentioned something about Epstein. One of the people that Trump appointed was a guy named, I think, Alex Acosta, who was the prosecutor who was involved in getting the Epstein sweetheart deal for having teenage prostitutes, when he's the one that was recruiting underage girls. And instead of being in charge with pandering and underage rape and all kinds of other things, he just got charged with paying for a couple of underage prostitutes. And the guy is the one that made the statement that you're not allowed to prosecute Epstein because he's above your pay grade. And he made that statement in public. So you want an accreditation for where that statement came from? It's right there. This is the man that Trump decided he needed to have in his cabinet. I think he appointed him Health and Human Services, and then he ended up doing a different Alex guy that was formerly with E.I. Lilly. Azar, Alex Azar ended up being head of Health and Human Services, and he's another slime ball that's the one that was in charge of approving the mRNA based on executive order that Trump signed in September of 2019. Don't believe that Trump is going to be some choir boy all of a sudden, because first of all, he's thick as a frickin' brick, number one. Number two, he's so egotistical that you can't possibly tell him anything, and you can't possibly tell him he's doing anything wrong, which is why he's surrounded by nothing but swamp rat yes men, his first administration, and he doesn't seem to have the ability to get out of that cycle. So I have no trust that he's going to be able to solve our problems, but we got nobody else to vote for. So it's bottom line is, what do you do with your vote?
Yeah, what do you do? And what do you do with the condition of the world? And as I keep saying, is that from everything that we're shown, it is actually worse than we can describe for what the show shows us. And we do need some sort of a break. Otherwise, we're going to be reset again. Trump, Biden optics. Polls, Biden approval sinks to new low, 37.4%. And let's see, was there a graph in this one? No, there isn't. So everything that we're seeing is just producing better and better optics to flip the script. AOC says Trump will round up his political enemies, throw her in jail if he wins. Now, the talking points of this bimbo is that they're never going to provide any factual evidence. All they're going to do is to project what they're doing. And I take him at his word when he says that he's going to round up people. Yeah, bullshit, bitch. You take that totally out of context and you ignore the projection that that is exactly what the Democrats are doing to their opponents. Criminal investigation into Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs opened after suspicious campaign donations. We talked about that. It looks like a textbook pay to play is that one group, the Sunshine Residential Homes, made a donation of $400,000 to Hobbs' campaign, and they were able to raise their prices and make millions, while all the other type of groups were not allowed to raise their prices and didn't contribute to Hobbs' campaign. In shocking litmus test, FBI security inquiry tried to unmask employees. Trump support memos show, and these memos show that for the hiring, they had questions that wanted to find out, and they did research for potential hirees that if anybody had been known to vocalize support for President Trump, vocalize objections to COVID-19 vaccination, and that if people found out that there were Trump supporters or people hesitant, vaccine hesitant, then that type of question would be ordinarily illegal. It would be a criminal, actually, to ask those questions. We have the DEI prosecutor. We covered this one, but I like this take on it, who once said that she'd never degrade herself for a dollar, was just convicted for stealing $15 million of them in COVID funds. And this is the ridiculous nature of what we're dealing with for leadership. Just virtue signaling and then just thievery. And that is it. Or that one. Joe, your comments, brother.
Yeah, well, checking my emails while we're doing the show live, and I get an email reply on an email that I sent out. Correct the Zena Collins Stevens PD 1032-20 Supreme Court ruling that the Attorney General of Texas does not have the ability to criminally prosecute anybody. And this is something that came up last fall, and we managed to boot out the three Supreme Court criminal judges that rhinos that passed this. So now we've got three better Supreme Court justices. But the problem is that we've had 570 amendments in the Texas Constitution, which was written to keep carpetbaggers from ripping us off like they did 10 years after we got back into the Union after the Civil War. And so I just got an email reply from Angela Paxton. And that's the wife of Ken Paxton, who is our attorney general. And she said, yes, I'm very interested in this comment, and we will be introducing legislation in 2025 session to address the shortcomings of our state constitution and allow our attorney general to prosecute at least the district attorneys that are not upholding state laws because they're funded by Soros to not uphold the state laws, like the current district attorneys we have in Bear, which is San Antonio, Dallas, which is Dallas, Harris, which is Houston, and Travis, which is Austin. So those four counties currently have rotten district attorneys that do rotten things to the people of those cities because they're all Democrats and they're all run through illegal voting, and we can't get them out of office because the state does not have any criminal prosecution for voter fraud in the state of Texas. Paxton said he had over 900 cases that were in those four counties that he was not able to prosecute, and he wasn't able to prosecute the district attorneys for not prosecuting the cases. So bottom line is, yeah, you can make a difference if you just can't hang in there and keep trying. And if nothing else, at least find somebody else that's got something decent to say and reinforce it by sending their message to your state representatives and saying, look, it's time we had something better. Or even better, you can get in touch with your county sheriff and you can have them file charges against anybody that was injured in your county because of the results of these mRNA jabs. And in Texas, we had Ventivia, who was in charge of doing field tests, that tested 3,300 people in their field trials. And every one of those was 100% fraudulent. And you can get the sheriff in your county to file criminal charges against the people in that company. And once you get them under oath and you get them in grand jury hearings and you get them charged, you will be able to get an enormous amount of evidence to go into the principles of all of these firms and the principles at the FDA and the CDC that force these issues on us. So bottom line is, if we're going to be forced to do this on an individual county level, by God, we need to get off our asses and do it. There's 260 counties in Texas. Get off your asses. Get your county sheriff to start arresting these son of a bitches and putting them in trials so that we can get the evidence to go ahead and convict the real ringleaders of this mafia that's been running our planet. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, there are openings if you want to go ahead and take a look. If they push this bird flu again, one of the things that I'm going to do is exactly what Joe was talking about, is reference federal law Title 21 that gives us complete freedom to decline any medical experiment and to go to the sheriff and have some on the record conversations and see what we can do, see what allies that we have, and engage in battles because we are under attack. All right, next. Southern invasion, replacement theory optics, mapping illegal immigrants by state. Tyler Durden, Zero Hedge. And here's the map. So about 10.5 million. And feel free to peruse that one and take a look. And this is from the data based on calculations using U.S. Census Bureau data. New national poll finds 62% of Americans, including Democrats, support national program to deport all illegal aliens. That's interesting. And we'll see. The optics are more and more favorable, more and more optimistic, and we're still talking about it. And let's see, is that it for those two? Yes, it is. All right, Joe, your thoughts on the border?
Oh, yeah. Well, in Texas, according to that map, we've got 1.6 million of those illegal aliens crawling all over our state. And New York has 600,000. And they're bitching about how bad it is in New York. Hey, let us give you the extra million that we've got so that we've got the same number that you've got now, and let you see what kind of real problems you could have when you have three times as many of them. Absolutely disgusting. And I don't care what happens to New York. Those people deserve what they've created up there. It's an absolute nightmare of a state. Same thing with California. But I do care very deeply about Texas, and I am not going to let them to continue to do what they've been doing to our state as long as there's a breath in my body.
Yep. Thank you, Joe. All right, next. So official policy is so-called ordering farmers that they can't water their crops because there's a shortage. And there's a shortage while the reservoirs, the snowpack, and the rivers are full. And this is Wall Street Apes. And I want to let this guy speak.
Idaho, because some of you have probably heard about this, but the state of Idaho has put a water curtailment order, which is basically a water shutoff order, on literally a 500,000 acres of farmland. That's a lot of potatoes. A lot of these farmers, and this impacts about 6,400 water users, but a lot of these farmers that are farming this land have already invested thousands of acres, thousands of dollars per acre to grow potatoes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Trevor Belknap. I operate a family farm, a fifth-generation family farm in the Snake River Valley of eastern Idaho. And I just wanted to visit with you for a minute about the impacts of the water curtailment order that's been issued by Director Weaver from the Idaho Department of Water Resources. The situation in which we find ourselves is about as bad as it gets. Not only will we be out of business, many other businesses will be highly impacted, and you, as my friends and neighbors, will also be impacted because we're so interconnected. If the ag economy in eastern Idaho fails, which it surely will if this containment order is in place, it can remain in place, will dry up and blow away, just like it did back in the Dust Bowl of the 30s. Banks will fail. Equipment dealers, car dealers, gas stations, grocery stores all rely on the ag economy that's here in eastern Idaho. The children in our schools, how many of them belong to families who work in some form of ag industry in eastern Idaho? It's horrible, and we need to fix it. And I would propose to you that it is not a water problem, it's a management problem, because we have water. Reservoirs are full, the mountains are covered in snow, the river's been flowing well. So why now? Why after we've planted our crops, we have crops in the ground, they're already growing. Now, in the middle of June, they pull a curtailment order to say, you must cease pumping water. The cost is huge. An acre of potatoes costs upward of $4,000 an acre to grow. How will that ever be recovered? They will not grow without water. And what will that do to everyone else that's reliant upon us in this area and the state of Idaho? What will the counties do for roads and bridges, police departments, ambulances, hospitals that rely on the tax base? Property like this will become worthless. Without water, the land doesn't have any value here.
That's right. The Converse massive forest restoration project makes steadfast progress. This will be the largest natural structure on the planet. And this is in Africa. But if they really wanted to do something to improve the quality of life, I mean, we can do that. We can create a nice environment. But the leaders don't want a nice environment. They want us dead. We are targeted. This is war. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, they're doing the same thing on the eastern side of Oregon. They shut down all the truck farms. Anybody that has a farm that's less than 5 acres, you can no longer get water to water any crops, and you're not allowed to sell any crops. And some of these people, if you got a 5-acre truck farm and your family's out there working it on a regular basis and you're taking to the farmers markets on the weekend, you can actually afford to live in eastern Oregon when there's no other source of income. And so they've killed all the forestry jobs, so you don't have those. You can't work in the lumber mills because there's no forestry jobs. And so bottom line is, yeah, they're just doing everything they can to starve us off of the land. It's absolutely incredible that these people are so maniacal and that they have people that will do their bidding in appointed offices, because I guarantee you, you don't have more than one or two people in your whole state government that are elected to be in charge of agriculture, and the rest of them are all appointed. And so bottom line is, you get one lousy elected official, and he can make sure that he appoints hundreds of people to force dictates that are bad for everybody in the whole state. And by the time you get rid of those one individual and the 100 people that he's appointed, you've already destroyed your economy. So it's absolutely ridiculous that we let this system of government take over so completely and destroy us so completely and have nothing that we can do in recourse. It's absolutely disgusting.
Thank you, Joe.
Where's Chris go?
He hasn't come back. I haven't gotten a text from him. All right, finally, okay. Golden Oldie. Now, we have here, I don't know how many FDNY expert witnesses there were. There are 24 of them here. But from the very beginning of the documentation, they have testified of bombs and explosions. And, of course, that it's not a collapse. It was an explosion. So there is no hope until we have some sort of a breakthrough for justice. And there isn't going to be any hope from the people who are conducting this criminal empire onto us. It has to be, they have to be removed by arrest or some other means. I think arrest is going to be the most elegant way of doing it. But I don't see any avenue to do it until we get some sort of a significant breakthrough. Everything that we're witnessing is seeing more and more on the side of the people, but insufficient to do anything to stop the progress of the agenda that is pushing us to extinction. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm an absolute expert on what happened to the World Trade Center buildings. I'm a trained structural engineer, been registered in the state of Texas for over 40 years, worked in hundreds of high-rise buildings in my career. I started studying 911 from the day that it happened. When the South Tower leaned 22 degrees and then popped upright and fell down in its own shadow in 14 seconds, I said, this is controlled demolition. I don't know how they did it because I haven't studied controlled demolition enough, but I understand structural engineering because I had to take dozens of courses in it in order to become an engineer. And so bottom line is I've spent 22 years, 23, 24 years, studying 911 at least 8 or 10 hours a week. So that's at least 5,000 hours of study just on that particular subject. I've written two really great articles that were at Veterans Today, which you mentioned earlier. One of them is Unequivocal 911 Nukes. And I was contacted by one of my readers, said, you need to read the Palmer Report. I pulled the Palmer Report up. 5,000 word article, 45 PowerPoint slides, 3 90-minute videos. I forwarded to Gordon Duff, the editor at Veterans Today. He said, these guys have independently proven everything that we've written in 80 articles on nuclear education at Veterans Today. And so he posted it. And then after I reread the thing and studied their material a little bit more, I said, well, this is written by 4 PhD physicists in Europe, but they didn't have any understanding of radioactive isotopes, very limited understanding of nuclear reactions, and no education at all in construction. So I wrote an additional article called Exposing the NIST Jenga Game, which goes through the ridiculous hypothesis about the pancaking failure of the structures. It was just, well, when the top of the building started falling, it just knocked everything down underneath it, and that's what happened. It just all fell into a pile and disappeared. Yeah, absolute 100% bullshit. I will put a link to the hour-long interview that I did with James Spetzer on that, but I want to close with another little pet peeve of mine, and this is the Montreal Protocol, which was passed on September 16, 1987, on the hypothesis that freon, which has a specific gravity of 4.5, goes up into the atmosphere and gobbles up ozone molecules, and that's going to cause the planet to warm up because this is has gas warming potential. Well, now the EPA, first of all, they outlawed Freon 12 because the patents had expired for Dow and DuPont on hydrogenated fluorocarbons. And so they managed to get the protocol passed that said that these things were dangerous for the environment. And there was a lot of frivolous uses of Freon that could have been curtailed and needed to be, like using it for a propellant and hairspray, where now they're using ether, I think, is what they use. And also, some of them use nitrous oxide, like they use in whipped cream, ready whip. It uses nitrous oxide. But bottom line is, there's no gas molecule that can capture, store, redirect, or amplify radiant energy photons. They're the absolutely 100% bullshit. Well, now the EPA has decided that after they forced people to use refrigerant 410A, that it's a danger to the environment. And so now they're going to require you to use what's called A2L, which is their new global warming potential. But this stuff is flammable. So now your home and your automobile air conditioning systems are going to be flammable because we've got to save the planet. So if you've got an EV that catches on fire, now you've got an extra fire source for your EV. These people are absolutely maniacal, and they've already admitted that it's going to increase the cost of the refrigerant and the refrigeration equipment by over 30%. So bottom line is they're doing everything they can to ratchet you out of having any slightest convenience in your whole entire life because they want you to own nothing and be uncomfortable and then learn how to be happy being nothing but a debt slave. It's disgusting that this is what we're dealing with. I'll put a link to some information on that. I did a great interview with James Spetzer on the EPA, which covers this Montreal Protocol bullshit, but it also covers a lot of the other stuff. This is directly coming from the EPA, which is enabled by the American Society of Heating, Refrigeration, and Ventilation Engineers, which I wrote an article to in 2010 at Canada Free Press called Airmen of ASHRAE Enter the Fray. And I've been in touch with the directors of that. I've been a member of their organization. I've gone to their conventions multiple times. I've tried to talk to these assholes every way possible, and they're absolutely obstinate. I wrote a great article at Principia Scientific on the ASHRAE cargo cult using a documentary that was done by Robert Zephyr, anthropologist, on the cargo cult tribes in Micronesia during World War II. And it's the exact same mindset. These people are absolute morons. I have nothing but disgust for the American Society of Civil Engineers over their duplicity in the 9-1-1 events. And I have nothing but distrust and disgust for the American Society of Heating, Ventilation, and Refrigeration Engineers, because they are disgusting, rollover, worthless, spineless idiots. And I do not like you people.
Yeah, and we need some help. I began teaching 9/11 to high school students beginning in 2004, and I would try to get allies among the teachers, and one of the groups I would approach would be physics teachers. And maybe this was around 2007. I went to the physics teacher and asked if I could brief him. He says, yeah. And I talked about the dustification of the Twin Towers and of Building 7. And he is recognizing and realizing what I'm talking about and the impossibility of the physics. He ended up not doing anything. And this was before class, and kids are walking up this stairway. And I said, you know, it would be like if that kid there tripped on the stairs and bounced down and turned into dust, and the custodial staff would have to vacuum him up. Is that ridiculous? Isn't it? Isn't that your understanding of physics? And he's nodding his head. He says, yeah, yeah, it is that ridiculous. It's physically impossible. He ended up not doing anything. All right, let's go to final thoughts. I don't have any, except what I've expressed in context of the show of hang in there. All the facts are on our side. Something is going to break. And when it does, then all of these background facts that the whole world is watching, there will be opportunities for self-expression. And if you're seeing them now, go ahead and jump in, brothers and sisters, patriots all, and just hang in there. Something is going to break. I think it's going to be the finance first. I think that Macron has doomed the French government, and the French people are going to jump up and take advantage of that election. So I am feeling, I guess this is the final thought, is that the paradox of it, as bad as it is, I've never felt better and more optimistic that this emperor's new clothes condition and the ridiculousness of it, I think that the script can be flipped just as fast. But again, as I keep talking, I'm just talking, and I don't have anything to back that up. So just hang in there, be prepared. And there isn't any other option, because by all appearances, we're going to die if we don't get some help and we win this thing. Not like, you know, a normal lifespan, a nice lifetime, and then die. No, 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 we're going to be killed by these fuckers. It's important. Joe, final thoughts.
But I already had my final thoughts. Yeah, there was another thing. Yeah. So anyhow, there's another article that just came out. A site that I go to frequently is Suspicious Observers. I met Ben Davidson at his Suspicious Ranch, Observers Ranch, excuse me, in Fremont, Colorado last summer. And he just had an article that was written by Richard Lindzen and a guy named Happer. And it says net zero averted temperature increase. Well, I've been lectured to by both of those SOBs, Richard Lindzen, PhD in physics, at the Houston Petroleum Club in January of 2010, and then at Rice University that evening again in 2010. And then I was lectured to by Happer, who's the other guy that's doing this article with him. at the Lukewarmest Love Fest out in Las Vegas, Heartland Association, 4 days long in July of 2014. So I've been lectured by these rotten son of a bitches repeatedly, and they keep saying that, well, we know there's such a thing as warming gas, and we know that water vapor and carbon dioxide are warming the planet. And we know that, you know, Freon's going to eat up all the ozone. And we know. No, you don't know anything. You don't know doodly shit about climate, and you refuse to debate anybody because you're absolute 100% controlled opposition. They are the lukewarmest, and they do this stupid little charade with the alarmists saying that the planet warms a little bit from carbon dioxide when it does not. Absolutely everything in the atmosphere cools incoming sunlight during the day and delays cooling at night, but delayed cooling is not warming. Learn how to do proper physics, and I'll debate any one of you son of a bitches any day of the week, anywhere, just like Trump said he'd do with FJB, because I'll clean your freaking clocks. You know nothing about science.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Patriots. I'm going to be out of town this weekend, so we'll be back on Monday with more of the news that you need to know.